Look at your neighbor and say, "Did you have a good day today?" Look at your other neighbor and say, "I had a great day today." Man, we hope that you had an awesome, awesome day here at River Point. Becca and I went today, and if somebody needs some chairs, there's a whole row of chairs right there. Becca and I, we went today, and we picked up the rafters. How many of you guys went rafting today? They paddled downstream today, 4 miles downstream. 10-man boats, 4, 5, 6 oars per boat. And you would have thought that they got off the river today and were absolutely tired. We drove the 10-12 minute bus ride back, and they screamed at the top of their lungs the entire time. Yep, they're saying, "Yeah, we sure did." There was so much passion and energy that was in that bus coming back. My encouragement to you tonight is this, is have that same passion and energy when it comes to the things of God. We believe at River Point, and you're going to see this all week long, we believe in having the most fun you've ever had. I hope this is the best summer, the best week of your whole summer is right here. As you've gone rafting, and you're going to go to the aerial park, and you're going to go tubing, and you're going to shoot your best friend with a paintball right between the eyes. But every single night at 7:30 p.m., you have the opportunity to connect with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our word for the week is sparks. When I was a kid, I always seen those forest fire commercials. One match could prevent a forest fire. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And our prayer for you this week is one spark of God can ignite your soul, can set you on fire, and can lead you for the rest of your life. So TJ, as I was preparing and I was getting ready to walk up and you were going to your seat, I don't even know who these girls are, but they've got their Bibles out, they got their journals out, and they're ready to receive the word that God has for them tonight. So don't just sit there and think, "Oh man, I'm tired, I'm ready to go to the cabin, I'm ready to get some sleep." But let God do something in your life that forever catapults you to your future. We are so excited tonight to have a long time River, before it was ever River Point, okay, when it was Pentecostal Church of God, Southern Missouri District Campground, okay? The PYPA kids, all right? He was one of those guys. And he's been in Texas and California and Indiana. His family's no stranger to River Point. His father lives 12 miles from here in Leesburg, Missouri. But we are so excited to have TJ Skiles with us. Will you give a huge River Point welcome to Mr. TJ Skiles?
Come on, can you stand to your feet? Let's hear it up for Jesus. Let's give Jesus praise in the house. Come on, you can do better than that. Oh my goodness. You guys can sit down. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to Brandon and Becca. How many think that you guys have the best DYDs in the world? All right, this time I want you guys to act like they are the best DYDs in the world. Come on and give them a hand. I know you guys love them. I've been knowing Brandon forever. We've got a lot of stories. We have a lot of things, and I won't tell any stories on him if he doesn't, if he promises not to tell stories on me. A couple of things I just want to say. If it's your first time at camp, raise your hand. Yeah! Welcome. It's so good to see you guys. So glad to have you. And if it's your, like, fourth, third, whatever, you've been here your whole life, let me see your hands. All right. Awesome. So good to see you guys. Come on, give yourself a hand real fast. I was born here in Missouri. I was born 30 miles from this spot in Potosi, Missouri. Potosi, anyone in Potosi in the house? Yeah, okay, a few Potosi people. But I grew up here, and it is so awesome to be here. I have so many memories in this building of altar calls and just watching God call people into the ministry and miraculous things. And there's something special about camp. I might get a little cry. I'm a crybaby. So just deal with it, okay? I'm okay with that. It's not going to bother me if you want to make fun of me. I'm a man that can cry. All right? But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. God, if you don't hear anything else from me, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I'm going to start by saying that. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Everyone point at yourself and say, God has a purpose and a plan for me. All right. I want to tell you this. I love Jesus with all my heart. And nothing more in my life that I want to do this week is to tell you about the Jesus that I know in my heart. Because I want you to know him, and I want you to have a relationship with him. Because let me tell you something. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. And I've made a lot of decisions, some good, some bad. But I can tell you, when I invited Jesus into my heart, it changed me. So I want to talk to you guys tonight real fast. I want to show you. I don't know if they've got it back there. I got a picture of my family. They were not able to come. My wife. That is my wife in the middle with blonde hair. We've been married 18 years, and let me tell you something. I love her more today than I did the day that we got married. This coming Monday, we will have been married 18 years. This is my daughter standing by me. Her name is Zaylee. She's my oldest. She's 16 years old. She is not single and ready to mingle because Dad said so. All right? This is my son over here who is 15 years old, much taller than me, much bigger than me, but I'm meaner than him, and that's all you need to know. That's Wyatt. And my daughter's name is Zaylee, and down here, this little guy, his name is Novak. And I wanted to share with you guys my family, and that's them. And they weren't able to make it. Well, some of them could have made it, but they didn't make it. But, you know, you snooze, you lose, right? Lame-o, right? But anyway, so I wanted to introduce you guys to them. I want to get straight right into the Word tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. And before we do that, I just want to say, I know we prayed earlier, but I just want to pray over this week. Is that okay? Is that all right? And I want to do something. I love this age group because you guys are hungry for God. And whether you realize it or don't realize it. But let me explain something to you. I'm going to say this prayer, but I want you guys to posture your heart. What does that mean? I want you to get your heart ready. I want you to make sure it's soft because this is what happens. When the Word of God comes forth, little seeds of the Word come, and they land in our heart, and they begin to grow. And that's how we change. So I want you to posture your heart. When I say that, that's what I mean. I want you to say, hey, God, I'm not going to talk to my friends. In this next 20 minutes, God, I'm gonna open my ears. I'm going to be attentive to what you have for me this week. God, I'm going to lay all my distractions aside, and I'm going to say, hey, God, this is our moment. So let's pray. God, I pray this week, God, Lord, that you would spark something in our hearts that could only come from you, because only your love changes things. God, I pray, Lord, that as we posture our hearts this week, God, that the miraculous would begin to happen. God, that lives would be changed. God, those who deal with bondages, they would be broken. God, I pray, Lord, for those who maybe come from maybe rough home lives, God, I pray, Lord, that you would give peace to them. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in each and every student, God, and leader, and everyone in this building. In your mighty name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, look at your neighbor, say, I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the service. All right. All right. How many brought your Bible? Hold up your Bible if you brought your Bible. All right. Good. Good. You forgot your Bible. That's all right. We'll have it up here. I want to talk to you guys. How many of you guys have stuff in your room that you don't no longer need in your room? What do you have in your room that you no longer need in your room?
A bunch of old blankets.
A bunch of old blankets. All right. Someone else? What do you have in your room that you don't necessarily need in your room anymore?
A giant dresser.
A giant dresser. You don't have clothes in there? All right, one more. Let's see. Oh, right here.
I don't want a... It's this doll. It's really creepy.
Oh, she has a creepy doll in her... You might want to get that. She has a creepy doll in her room is what she said. Hey, get that thing out of there. All right. The other day, when I was getting ready to come here, I had to go into my garage, and I was looking for my sleeping bag. And when I went into my garage, I don't know about you, I like put stuff in my garage, and then I'll drag stuff out, and then I'll forget to put stuff up, and then I'll go back out there, and then it'll be out. Anybody else, my older folks, do that? Okay. So I went out there, and I was going through all these totes looking for my sleeping bags, and I couldn't find what I needed. And I realized at that moment that I have a bunch of junk that I need to get rid of. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Doesn't it feel good to purge stuff, to get rid of things when you don't want them anymore? Isn't it good when you grow up a little bit, you get rid of your teddy bears and you pass them on to someone else? You give your Andy's toys to the next generation, Toy Story 3, you know, tear coming down right now for me, all right? And you pass those things along, but we all have things we need to give up, right? So tonight I want to talk to you guys on this subject, give it up. Everyone say, give it up. Everyone say, give it up, give it up, give it up. All right, you guys got this. We're going to be looking at a story in Genesis chapter 12. And there's this guy named Abraham. Anybody ever heard of Abraham? All right. Abraham was kind of the rock star of blessing. God called him out, and he's like, hey, I want to bless you, and I want to make a nation out of you. So we're going to look right here at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says this, the Lord had said to Abram, now this is before God changed his name, so he's going by Abram, but it's the same guy, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. How many want to be famous? Now let me share something with you. God can make you more famous than YouTube. 100%. Because let me tell you something. Abraham never got on YouTube, but we're talking about Abraham right now. All right, look at this. God said, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. How many like to be a blessing to others? Some of y'all need to buy me some candy at the Snack Shack. That's all I'm going to say. All right. All right. Verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. I want to point out something here. God says to Abraham, leave your native country and your relatives, your family, and go to a land that I will show you. And he says those things. So Abraham, the rock star of blessing in the Bible, there's a lot of people that are blessed by God. But let me tell you something. Abraham, God called him out because he was a righteous man. And God saw righteousness in him. Matter of fact, he is so famous that if you go in the Bible, there's this thing called a hall of faith, okay, in Hebrews chapter 11. And he is one of the main guys listed there in the hall of faith. He's like, you are up there. How many want to be in the hall of faith? All right? So Abraham is there. Matter of fact, he's so famous that there are generations of young people before you that sing this song in children's church called Father Abraham. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. That's how famous he was. The number one song in Sunday school history right there, right? Anybody? Right arm, I hated that song. All right, moving on. Abraham gets the greatest blessing called upon his life. But notice this. I want you to notice something in this scripture. God gives him a command before he gives him the blessing. He gives him directions before he's going to get the blessing. He said, you need to go to a land that you don't know, and you need to leave your family, and you need to leave this native land. So he gave him directions on where he should go before he received the blessing. And this is what you need to know. Look at me. The blessing comes after we obey God. The blessing comes after we obey God. Now listen, the world that we live in wants the blessing without the obedience, but it does not work that way. If God says it, we have to follow his directions. Everyone say, follow his direction. So this is what we need to know. At that time, there were many people, and Abraham served God with a capital G, the God, the one God, Jehovah. That was his God. He didn't serve the little gods. There was a lot of people that served little gods, but his God was different. But how often in our lives do we put little gods or the little G's, like sports, our hobbies, our gaming devices? Oh, no, you didn't say that, TJ. Oh, yeah, I got kids. I know what's up. How many of you spend more time on your PlayStation 5? You don't have one? Xbox, Switch, computer, PC. All right, that's right. But look, hang on. God's saying this, leave those little gods, those little G's, and I'll bless you. Look at this. I want to show you something. Genesis 12:4, the next verse says this. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed him, and what's it say? Lot went where? Lot went with him. Wait. What did God tell him to do in the first place? He said, leave your native country. Leave your who? Leave your family. Leave your relatives. And then go to a country that I'm gonna show you what it is. But who went with him? Do you know who Lot was? Lot was Abraham's nephew. Now, last I checked, unless it's different here in Missouri, your nephew is who you're related to, right? So that tells me that Abraham, right off the get-go, he's partially agreeing with what the Lord's saying, but he didn't fully agree with what the Lord told him to do, right? So look at this. This is my first point. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Let me tell you why I know that. If I tell my son to take out the trash, I'm going to pick on him. He's not here right now, so I can do that. If I tell my son to take out the trash and take it, pick it up, take it out of the kitchen, take it out to the dumpster outside, and he picks it up and he wraps it up and he leaves it in the kitchen, did he follow my directions? Yeah, that's right. He just did part of it. He didn't do all of it. And here's the issue. Here's the issue with Abraham. God was telling him, hey, I've got a plan for you, and this is what I need you to do. So Abraham leaves, and guess what he does? He brings his wife, and he brings Lot along. And I want to just talk to you guys about that. See, here's the problem. When we walk in partial obedience, when we walk in disobedience, because that's really what it is, what happens is, after we do it for a while, how many feel bad when you mess up? How many have felt bad when you mess up the first time and then you keep messing up and you keep messing up and you start to get a little hard in your heart? You don't feel as bad about it. Anybody ever been there? And that's what happens. See, the only person that you are fooling when you disobey the Lord is yourself. You really are, because you've hardened your heart because you're not fully following God. Are you with me? All right, stay with me. So I want to show you guys. I've got this lesson. I'm going to ask Jaron to come up. Where is Willie? Where's Willie? Come on, Willie. Hey, bring your chair. So I want to do something with these guys. All right, you guys love Willie? Hey, all right, this is Willie, and this is my nephew, Jaron, and I've asked them to help me out tonight. All right, playing Abraham tonight is going to be my nephew, Jaron. Everyone say Abraham. Playing the role of Lot tonight is going to be Willie. So, this is what I want to show you. Can you bring that out here? All right, I'm going to show you exactly what Abraham did when he chose to take Lot with him. Now look at this. Help me out here, G. I want you to tie that around Abraham's waist. Come on, put a good tight knot in there. That's perfect. Keep it going. Keep it going. There you go. That's good. Oh, man. All right. Now, I want you to tie that around Willie. Lot.
Make it big.
I hope I got enough rope. I did. All right. You're good. We're good. So check this out. Look, I want to show you something here. So Abraham has got the blessing of God on his life. God told him, go to a country that I'm going to show you. Leave your family. Leave your relatives. Abraham goes. And when he goes, what happens? So he's got Lot. So this is what I want you guys to come right over here. All right? You're going to get the call of God right here. Right here. So God's telling you, hey, I want you to go to a place that you don't know, but I'm going to send you. I want you to leave your relatives, leave your family, but just go in faith, and I will make a great nation out of you, and I am going to make you famous. But here's Lot. Check this out. Here's Lot attached to Abraham, and Abraham takes off, and here's the tether. I want you to pull him. I want you to fight a little bit, Willie. So look at this. Look at that. All right, that's easy. Look at this. Easy. All right. Can Abraham just go freely? Or did he tie himself up? He tied himself up. Look, I'm gonna show you something else. I'm gonna show you my next point. Look at this. So the Lord told him to go to a place, and the place that you guys are going to be going to is right here. Now, I have designed this place. This is supposed to be for Abraham only, right here. This is designed for him. He's supposed to sit in here, and I want you to walk over here with Lot, and I want you to sit your rear end there, but Lot, I want you to follow on with him, and I want you to put your big rear end right in his lap. Look at this. Man, that's just weird, right? It's the weirdest thing I've seen in 2021, I'm not gonna lie. Freeze. Hold that position. Look, I wanna show you something. Show my scripture for Genesis chapter 13. One chapter later. So Abraham left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev along with his wife and who? And who? Okay, one chapter later, he's still there. Still hanging out. Lot's just dragging along. Abraham's going his way, and he's pulling. And guess what? Lot is still there. And look at this. I'm gonna get to my next point. Look at this. This is what the scripture says. Here's my point right here. Disobedience leads to drama. Oh, how many love some good drama in your life? You guys are wrong. Hey, this is what happens. When we sin, when we disobey God, drama happens. Drama happens. Look at this. It says this in Genesis 13:5 says, Lot, who was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats. He'd gotten rich, herds of cattle and many tents. I guess that's what it took to be really rich, was to have a lot of tents. But the land, look at this. I want you to look at this next part. Read it with me. But the land. Read it again. But the land could not support. This chair is not designed to hold these two guys. It is by faith. Abraham's blessing was not designed. No, but I want to show you something here. And this is what happens in our life. And then there's this fight. There's this fallout between Abraham and Lot. And they begin to argue. The herdsmen, the guys that worked underneath them, begin to argue whose land was what. And there was this big conflict. I don't know about you. I don't like drama. But see, that's what happens. When we sin, we have this drama. You ever wonder, man, my life's a mess. Have you guys ever felt that way? Let me ask you, what ways are you walking in disobedience? Think about that for a minute. Think, man, you're good. Just hold it. Hold it right there. You go all right? You go all right, Jaron? Your leg's falling asleep? Okay, that's all right. You'll be all right. The land could not support both of them. Young people, look at me. Look at me. God's purpose for you was designed for you and you alone. Not you and your sins. Not you and your friends, not you and your boyfriend, not you and your girlfriend. It was designed for you. You have a purpose. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Hold it. Hold it right there. It's amazing to me because this is Lot. Lot is freeloading off of Abraham's blessing. You know how Lot got rich? Being close to Abraham. God began to bless Abraham. And as he was blessing him, guess what? Lot's getting rich. He's getting all these cattle. He's getting all these sheep. He's getting all these tents. That doesn't sound very cool to us, right? Maybe all your 4-H people in the house. All right. All three of you. All right. That's okay. But he's freeloading. And look at this. Look at this. I want you guys to look at this. When we give Lot, when we give the sin in our lives, the choice, They'll pick the best from us. So what happens, these guys get in an argument, and they begin to argue, and so stand up, and Abraham's like, my legs are falling asleep, get off my blessing, right? And so he looks here at Lot, and he says, hey, listen, I cannot handle this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And this is, they get in this argument, and what's he do? He says, you get to decide where you want to go, Lot. You pick the land, and I'll go the opposite direction. That's some real drama, right? When you're so fed up and you're so tired, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, that you're just like, I just want to go the complete opposite direction of this person. You pick the land. And that's what sin does. When sin comes into our hearts, it takes the best out of us. It kills the purpose. It kills the calling on our lives. Sin kills. It destroys. For the wages of sin is death. It never ends good. Listen to me. It never ends good. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. I can tell you from experience, it will cost you. So what happened here? Lot began to take the best. So bring that out here. I want to show you guys something. You guys sprawl out. Just stretch out a little bit. Abraham can't get away. Hold on. So Abraham, he tells Lot, he said, you pick the land that you want to go. You go, and then I'll take the land opposite of that. And so here's the goal. Abraham's trying to get to God's promise, which God's promise is over here. And so here is Lot. And Abraham says, hey, I've got to cut you loose. You go the way you want to go. And so he gives him the option, and Lot says, I want the best land. So Lot wants to go this way. Lot wants to go to this land. So Abraham says, hey, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go this way. So what does he do? He opens that up, and he cuts ties with Lot.
Yay!
He does. All right, you can go sit down. Hey, give those guys a hand for me. Hey, go ahead. Go ahead. Listen. Listen, I know that was a fun way to share that, but there's a lot of truth in that. And listen, I need your attention for like 5 more minutes. All right? He had to give it up. He had to give Lot up. Hey, you're killing my blessing. I know I have a call, and I know God's called me, and I know that God's got a blessing. He's going to make me famous. But guess what, Lot? You're sucking the life out of me. I know I've got a call on my life. But look at this. Look at this. When Abraham cut ties, when he gave it up, God began to do something. Here's my point. Obedience always leads to blessing. Obedience always leads to blessing. Everyone say, obedience always leads to blessing. When your mom and dad ask you to clean your room and you're cleaning your room, does your parents take care of you? Are they happy with you? It all, no, not when they tell you to clean it, but or not when they just have to be on you to clean it, but when they ask you to clean it and you do it right away, do they take care of you? Do they bless you? Yes. They're happy with you. But look at this. Look at this. Look at this. When Abraham got serious about this thing and finally dealt with Lot, God did something amazing. Look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 says this. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can in every direction. Look this way, look this way, look this way, and look this way. He showed him that, and he says, look in every direction, north and south and east and west. Verse 15 says, I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants. That's blessing. Everyone say, that's blessing. As a permanent possession, look at this, verse 16, and I will give you so many descendants that like dust on the earth that they cannot be counted. See, Abraham didn't have any kids at this point. And he didn't have the promise to have any kids. So that would be pretty crazy to get that blessing. I'm going to have kids. I don't even have any kids. But look at this, verse 17. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. After Abraham released Lot out of his life, God's blessing began to flow immediately. You know why? Because he was walking in obedience. God, I realized what I did there. You told me to leave my family. You told me to leave my relatives. And I can't help but think tonight that in our lives, I know you guys are all your 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th graders. You say, oh, man, I don't have these crazy things in my life. But let me tell you something. If you can catch the purpose that God has for you right now, you will blow this world upside down. Don't wait. Why wait? But here's what happens. We think, oh, I'm going to get a little bit older, and when I'm maybe 16 or maybe when I'm 17, then I'll make that dedication. Then I'll say, hey, God, I give my whole life to you. And you know what that is? That's partial obedience. That's really just disobedience. God wants all of you, not some of you. He wants all of you. He wants every part of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, because this is what I know. When God grabs a hold of something, he makes it infinitely better. Look at this. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. If you're going to do it, do it. Look at this. GPS. When we have a GPS, I have a GPS. When I came here, I used my GPS to find the fastest route. You know why? Because I want to get where I'm going as fast as I can. Anybody with me? So what happens when I miss my turn with GPS? It recalculates, right? Recalculate, recalculate, recalculate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When your GPS does that? And it's sitting there, and it's like, turn around, make a U-turn, turn left on this street, go right on this street. And it gives you directions, right? But see, GPS is concerned about two locations. Two locations only. Where you are and where you're going. That's it. And I love that, but let me tell you something about GPS. GPS gives you one step at a time. And like the call of God on your life, sometimes it's just step after step after step after step. And it may not happen right away, but it may take time. It may be a perpetual process. But I can tell you this, if you divinely walk step by step, follow the Lord. Okay, God, I can do that. Lord, I can help in youth department. God, I can help in kids ministry. I may be just a little bit older, but you know what? I can help. Maybe I have the gift of singing. Maybe I could help my kids ministry by helping lead worship. Look at this. Psalms 37:23, it says this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of your life. You know, God has already ordained every detail of your life. I told you, he has a purpose for you. He has a destiny. He has a calling on you. Everybody has a calling in here. You say, oh man, but I don't know if I want to be a preacher. You don't have to be called to preach. You just got to be called to love on Jesus and to reach this world for Jesus. Right? You can be a doctor and love Jesus. You can be a lawyer and love on Jesus. You can be a politician and love on Jesus. Lord, we need you. So this is what I want to do. I want to ask you this. What's the lot in your life? What's the lot in your life? What's the thing that you're not wanting to let go, but you know you need to let go? That feeling that you feel in your heart right now, you know what that is? That is the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, come on. Come on. Some of you may need to separate yourself from some of your friends when you get back home. Some of the people that you're hanging around, they're going to take you down a bad path that God did not call you to go down. So this is what I want to do. Bow your heads all across this building. Is your lot your boyfriend or girlfriend? A distraction keeping you from God? Is it the pleasures of this world, which are fleeting, is what the scripture says? You say, oh, everyone's doing it, so it's okay. It'll just be fun for me. Who am I hurting? You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your calling. Maybe your lot is this. Maybe someone hurt you. We're going to go to a deep subject right now. Maybe someone has abused you. Maybe it's something that you're carrying that you weren't meant to carry, even though it wasn't your fault. Some of you have managed to carry that pain and quietness and disappointment and tragedy in your life. Maybe your parents have died. Maybe one of your parents died. Maybe one of your siblings. Maybe a grandparent. You're dealing with that and you're saying, oh, man, I can't get over this pain. Sometimes life just happens. Sometimes they're not our fault. I'm going to go a little bit further. I know I've picked on Lot tonight, but look at this. Here's his story. Abraham had two brothers. Scripture tells us that Abraham's dad or mom, Terah, begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was Lot's father. And the Bible says that Lot's father died young. And then when he died, Nahor left. He should leave with a goofy name like that. And when he left, that left Abraham to raise Lot. Sometimes in our lives, we're victims of abuse and sickness and death and loss and heartache. And we weren't ever intended to carry that, but we carry it. We're hooked to it. But here's the good news. like Abraham, when we decide to cut ties with those pains and those things. Say, hey, Jesus, I'll be obedient to you. I'll give you 100% of my life. This is what I want to do. I want to open up these altars. They're going to sing a song. You say, hey, I want to get rid of the lot in my life. Who's going to break the ice? Come on. Come on. Stand up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.